The TS diagrams for the Carnot refrigeration cycles should help you understand why these cycles will not work well in real equipment. Let's consider the vapor compression refrigeration cycle first. The feed to the compressor is very low quality. Although there are compressors that can handle vapor-liquid mixtures, they're generally more expensive and less efficient than compressors that are designed to compress gases only. Now, we need to create a cycle in which the compressor feed is all vapor, or at least has a very high quality. Next, you can see that the turbine has a similar problem, only worse. The feed is a saturated liquid, and the effluent has low quality. Now, most turbines are not designed to perform well under these conditions. We need to find an inexpensive device that will allow the expansion to occur without requiring a great deal of maintenance. Now, let's see what the issues are with the Carnot gas refrigeration cycle. The gas refrigeration cycle shown here is a closed cycle. In practice, most gas refrigeration cycles, like the ones on airplanes, are open cycles. So, heat exchanger number 2 isn't really part of the system. The cool air leaving the turbine blows into the refrigerated space. Stream number 2 is air drawn in from the refrigerated space. Heat is rejected to the hot reservoir in heat exchanger number 1, and this is where the problem occurs. It's just not easy or cheap to build a heat exchanger that operates isothermally without using a phase change. Real heat exchangers tend to operate almost isobarically, especially when the working fluid is a gas because there's so little friction involved. So for these reasons, we must modify the Carnot refrigeration cycles to make them more useful. So why do we bother with the Carnot cycles at all? Flip the page for a little reminder.